Again, Shin Pei Beis, Sifkad Yud Ches, Ein Yehudi, it's on page 504. Ein Yehudi Shehisker Beisol Lechadero, Ein Yehudi. One non-Jew rents his home to another non-Jew. Im Nishar Loi Shum Tfisa Babayis, if the original owner, the maskil, the one who owns the home, retains some hold in the house, what does that mean? What does it mean that he has some control? Sheyesh lo reshus laniach sham shum kelim. He has permission to store his property in the home of the person who he has rented it to. Yecholim liskar mimenu. Then the Jews in the courtyard still have the option of renting from the maskir. In other words, we have a case where, let's say, for example, we have five homes in the courtyard. Four are owned by Jews. One is owned by a non-Jew. So what's the halacha? The four must make a name of Echatzeres. And we have to do schiras reshus from the non-Jew. But guess what? The non-Jew is not living in his home. The non-Jew has rented his home to another non-Jew. So the question now is, the four Jews who have made the Eruv and need to do schiras, with whom do they do schiras? With the owner, who's far away. He is in a distant location, he's not living here, or do they do schirus with the individual who is the occupant, who's renting the home? So the answer is, you can do really, if the owner reserved the right to store something in the home, even though he's the person, the occupant is paying rent, and he lives there, but there is a condition that the owner has a right to keep in the closet some of his tools, whatever it is, that is enough of tfisas bayis to show that the original owner does retain control, at least in some small degree, over this home, to give the four Jews the option of doing schiras reshus with the original owner. And of course, if they want to do schiras smachim with the person who is renting, they can do that as well. Sometimes they're difficult people. You have to find the one that's willing to negotiate. Sometimes the person you talk to, the guy says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I rented this. It's my house. Leave me alone. I don't want to deal with you." So then you want to know if you can deal with the owner. And the answer is, if there is tfisas makom, then it is okay. V'yim lo nishar lo shum tfis. But let's say the original owner does not have any rights left. Then, in other words, the condition was that the person who rents the home has full access to the home, and the original owner has no rights. Nothing is being stored in this home.
He has the ownership.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's what the Mechaber is telling us. Ownership is not enough. The only other thing that can save us is if he can terminate the contract. If he can tell the renter, "Get out. I don't want you here anymore. Even when you rented, you only hear my goodwill." Well, the contract is renewed every single moment based on my goodwill, and if at any moment in time I decide I want you out,
in other words, the owner can have the option to break the lease.
Exactly. At any moment can break the lease, then even though the owner has no right, as long as the lease is in force, is going on, the owner does not have rights to store his property in the bayis. Im yochol hamaskil lesalek hasoicher, to dismiss the soicher toch zmano, during the time of the lease, yecholim liskar mimenu, then he can rent. Yecholim liskar mimenu, then we can still rent from the original owner. V'imav, if not in the moil, it's too late. El im kain yiskru mehasoicher, then the only other option is to rent from the soicher. Hagah. Let's say there's someone else. Any other person, lav dafka, the owner or the renter. Let's say there's a third party that has rights to store his property in this home. However the arrangements were made, if there's a third person that's not the owner, and that's not the one that's paying the bill, that's not the one that's living there, but he does have rights to store his property in this home, he also becomes a balabais, and the four Jews in the courtyard have an option of renting, doing schiras reshus from him. Okay, so that concludes Simon Yud-Sif Yud-Ches. Chotzer Shayit Shol, but now we go to a new case. This case is a little bit complicated. We have here, now we have to review the basic rules. The basic rules are the only time you are required to do schiras reshus from the non-Jew is if there are at least two Jews living in the courtyard. If there is only one Jew living in the courtyard with one non-Jew, that's a very rare occurrence and there is no requirement to do schiras makom. So let me try to explain the case outside. Let's say here we have, take over here, two different svarim. See, two blue svarim. These are two homes. Two homes owned by a Jew. The green sefer is the non-Jew. Okay, here is the non-Jew, and there are two Jews. The two Jews are back to back. They are connected. There's a wall that connects them, and there is a window in between the two homes. A small window. The window is not large enough to walk through, obviously. It's a small little window that's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, and it's lower than 10 tefachim from the ground, like we learned in the beginning of all of these halachas of Ariv Chatzeros. And being that these two homes are connected, and there's a small little window, they have an option of making among themselves an Eruv Chatzeros. In other words, let's say they did not make among themselves an Eruv Chatzeros, and on Shabbos, one of these two homes wants to pass an object through the window. There's a little window, there's a crack in the wall. They want to go, and they want to pass things from one apartment to the other apartment. Are they allowed to do so? The answer is no. Just like you're not allowed to go from your home to a courtyard, you're not allowed to carry from your home to your neighbor's home unless you make with your neighbor the Eruv Chatzeros. Like we gave the example many times of a two-family house. Two-family house, they're not going into the street, there's no hallway in between the two, there's a wall in between the two, there's a window, there's a door, they want to be able to carry from one apartment to the other apartment, from one section to the other section, it is forbidden unless the two get together and make an Eruv Chatzeros. So they have two homes, and there's a window in between, they want to be able to transfer property for objects from one to the other, and they indeed have made among themselves the Eruv Chatzeros. Okay, now, let's say number, I'm calling the one on the my right number, the number two. Number two's apartment opens up into the courtyard. And who else is in this courtyard? The non-Jew. But number one, his apartment does not open up into the courtyard. His apartment is open into the Rishul Sarab. So who shares the courtyard? A Jew and a non-Jew. Jew number one does not share the courtyard. Jew number one is open to Jew number two, a little window. But Jew number one does not, his property does not open into the courtyard. The only one that opens to the courtyard is the Jew and the non-Jew. So here is the question. Question is, does number two, if he wants to carry into the courtyard, does he need to make, do schiras rishus from the goy? The only time you're required to do schiras rishus from the goy is only if there are at least two Jews and one goy. But if there's one Jew and one goy, you don't need to do schiras rishus because this is rare. So here in this situation, do we require, if the Jew wants to carry from his home into the courtyard, does he need to do schiras rishus, being that he is connected to another Jew? So it's really, sach hakol, it's two Jews and one guy. Or do we say that since Jew number one really has no direct access into the courtyard, he's not a factor in this equation, and we do not need to make any schiras makom from the non-Jew? So the answer is depends. If the Jew in this courtyard, and I mean his vice, wants to carry objects which have been in his vice when Shabbos began into the courtyard, it's fine. He does not need to do schiras rishus. But if we want to transfer an object from house number one to house number two, and then from house number two carry it into the courtyard, that's a no-no. Oh, but number one doesn't really have any shaykhis with number two. It doesn't matter. Being that the two are connected and we want to go from one to the other into the courtyard, we already consider this to be two against one, and two against one does require an Eruv Chatzeros. Now let's see then.
He makes the object hefker.
What happens if he makes the object hefker?
He gives up rishus.
I don't think it makes a difference. I think when Shabbos begins, it all depends where it is, who's rishus. I don't think the object automatically is part of the property where it resides when Shabbos begins. So I don't think that would make a difference. I'm not mistaken. So let's see inside. Your test. Chatzer sheyishrov ein yehudi darim ba. We have a courtyard which who's in the courtyard? There's only a Jew and a non-Jew. Period. However, ubeis echad shel yisrael eitzel beisah shel zeh. But the home that opens the courtyard is adjacent to another Jewish home. But that other home is not open to the courtyard, but there is a window in between house number one and house number two, and now we want to be able to carry from house number one to house number two into the courtyard. So what is the rule? Eino yachol la'orev imo derech hachalon shebeinehem kidei lohaitzi kelov derech beishchenoi hapasuch luchatzer. Can't do it. It's not going to work. Even though house number one, house number two will make an eruv chatzer, they'll be allowed lechatil to carry from one home to the other home, that's not going to solve the problem of the non-Jew in the courtyard. If you want to transfer from house number one to house number two and then into the courtyard without doing schiris for shus from the non-Jew, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to be kosher.
I don't think he meant, I'm saying what you meant. I think he meant if the number one house is mevatel, is reshus to number two, would that make
it? Oh, if number one, yeah. If number one is mevatel reshus, yeah, that would be different. Yeah. That would be different. Bittul Rishos, yeah. If you do Bittul Rishos, that's always a solution. Yeah, that would work. We're going to come a little bit more to that in the next siman. That would work. Avol. Now, but the Mishnah Berurah. Let me just read a little bit of the Mishnah Berurah because he explains the Chiddush in much more detail. Let's just run through it very quickly. Samach Zayin, the previous page, on page 504, the last line of the page. The Einel Pesuch L'Chotzer. The house number one is not open to the chotzer with the non-Jew, but it's open to another courtyard. It goes without saying that if the two homes open into the courtyard, then of course, of course you have to first do schius and then do the erev. Rak. What's the situation here? I'm reading this because it's going to explain something very important which we need for the next part of the sif. Rak. Hocha here, debayis echod ena shaykh lekan. Shari pischa lechtzad acher. The imkain loy nishar kan. When you walk to the courtyard itself, how many homes open to the courtyard? Rak. Yisrael echod bimokoim akum. All we have here is one Yisrael and one non-Jew. The einoy tzarich shum tikun l'talpil b'chotzer. Under normal circumstance, you don't need to do schiris because one Jew and one non-Jew is not part of the takana. That's something which is so unique, so rare, so unusual. Chazal did not require schiras makom. The ashmiina nechocha, but here the mechaber is teaching us she Yisrael hasheni also l'talpil. The other Jew is not allowed to carry derech haloinoi. He's not allowed to transfer from his home to the other home. Lebeis Yisrael zeh mish umish umisham lechotzer, from there to the courtyard. Afilu im nisarvu al yidei haloinoi sheyesh b'nehem. V'yaf al gav de mishum Yisrael zeh shemetaltel gam kein derech beisa shel Yisrael zeh misarvu lemikri shnav mokam akum liyasar. T'lo shayich v'zeh rak kishnei metaltem derech pisram lechotzer. Even though, really, why not? What should be the problem? What's so the big deal? The Jew number one is not open to the courtyard. Here are the key words: Afilu hachi, gozru boze mitam acher. Okay, this is incredible what it's saying here. There's another issue here. What's the other issue? The im yehe muter Yisrael ploini letaltel derech beisa shal ze lechotzer yisma chayisrael al ze. The Yodur im Akum, he'll continue to live there. V'loy mistepei mishum shu yachid shaharei od Yisrael acher matzikan v'yilmod mimasov shalakum. He's saying over here something which is incredible. I mean, he said this before, but it's brought out here in a very unusual way. The reason why Chazal instituted this takon of schiras makom is they had an entirely different agenda. The agenda was, they don't want a single Jew living with a non-Jew. They did not want this. They were very unhappy with this situation where you have a little courtyard, and in the courtyard there's only one Jew and one non-Jew. This will naturally lead to the Jew being under the influence of the non-Jew. They didn't like this. What? Now, did they have to do anything special? Not necessarily, because it wouldn't happen. It's not something that would happen naturally, because a Jew would naturally be afraid to live with a non-Jew, the choshal shvich astam, and so on and so forth. But in this situation, if we're going to allow, if we're going now to require schiras makom, what's going to happen is, wait, let me just take a step back. What happens if there are two Jews and there's one non-Jew? It's also not a good thing, because if there's one non-Jew in the courtyard, it will happen that the two, even though they are the majority, they will learn, it will rub off on the Jews, the conduct of the non-Jew will definitely at some point in time rub off on the Jews. So Chazal made a takana. And the takana was, we want you to rent the reshus of the non-Jew. Now, of course, the simple reason for the takana is because of Shabbos. Because you're going from a private reshus into a reshus that's shared by a group. Problem, how can you do this? It resembles Haitzah, we're from a Rishos Sayachet to a Rishos Saram. So take away the problem of Haitzah. We enacted, you become one big happy family with the guy as well, by renting his Rishos. But there's another reason. The other reason is what?
Rent his Rishos. But the concept you're saying,
exactly,
he's still physically
exactly, he's still physically this. We have a Chazal, so we want to make it difficult for you. We want to give you an incentive either to buy out the non-Jew or to move away from the non-Jew. What was the incentive? We're going to require you to rent his rishus. And Chazal knew renting his rishus is not going to be easy. He's going to ask a lot of questions and he's going to make it very difficult. And it may come to a point where it just might not be worth it, and it will force you to move out and to leave. It is a technique. It's hard for us to understand because we don't relate to this society. It was a technique. It was a difficulty, an impediment Chazal put in your way to remind you this is not the ideal situation. And don't... Oh, thank you very much. That's very nice of you. Thank you very much. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh Bevaro. This is an incentive for you to change the situation. Now look at our case here. We have two Jews. Back to back. One and two. And we have a courtyard. And who else is living in the courtyard? A non-Jew. So the Jew says to himself, wonderful. There's only me and the guy. And with only me and the guy, I don't have to do schiras makom, because this is so weird, it's so far-fetched. Something that's never happened, Chazal never instituted, because who would risk their life? But you know what? For me, I'm not risking my life in this situation. Because it's two against one. Why is it two against one? Because my house is open to another Jewish home. And there's a window. And whatever the guy comes into my home to kill me or to do something horrible to me, there's a window. And my neighbor, my fellow Jew, is going to hear, is going to protect me. The guy is not going to be able to get away with it. I'm comfortable. I don't have to worry. When is it something where a Jew never live alone with the guy? It's because of sakana. But over here, the Jew says to himself, there's no sakana, because I am back to back with another Jew. Right? My house is adjacent to another Jewish house, and there's a window in between. So you know what? I'll live here forever. It's comfortable. Oh, but now I want to carry, let's say we want to carry from house number one to house number two into the courtyard. I don't even need to do schiros from the non-Jew, because technically there's only a Jew and a non-Jew in the courtyard. So here we've created a situation which Chazal, exactly the situation that Chazal did not want. Technically you outsmarted Chazal. Technically, all you have here is one Jew and one non-Jew, and you don't need to make an Erev. But here, you have created for yourself a situation where you're very comfortable living in this environment, because you have another Jew to watch your back. And in that situation, we have a Jew, two Jews, and one non-Jew. It's common. People did this all the time. But Chazal were not happy, so they created an incentive. The incentive was do schiras. I don't need to do schiras in this situation. I outsmarted Chazal because my Jew, the second Jew, is washing my back and is protecting me. His home does not open to the courtyard. So it's only one and one. So I'm going to live here happily ever after without, because I have another Jew protecting me, and I don't need to do schirus because there's only one Jew and one non-Jew. I outsmarted Chazal and I'm finished. Therefore, Chazal said, very good, you outsmarted us. But now we're going to outsmart you. And even though, according to the letter of the law, you're right, we're going to step in this particular situation and say you can't carry from house one to house two into the courtyard unless you do schiwis. Now it will be schiwis. Now it will be a reminder you should not be under the influence of the non-Jew. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah here says. Let's read those words one more time.
Abrogation of the security issue will lead to assimilation. The Lilmod Numasav Shalom.
Yeah.
That's really exactly.
Bottom line. Right, exactly.
If you feel secure, you're going to learn from the
government. Exactly. That's why you do Schirus. The Schirus shows you different. It's a reminder, we're not one with them, we have to see, don't get too comfortable with the non-Jew. Here you would not need to do that. So let's just hear the words inside the one more time, those words. It's a fascinating insight into the thinking of Chazal. Just want to see the words inside. The one more time, it's again, look at Samaches. Samaches, go up from Samaches, 1, 2, 3 lines up, the Sifkan Samaches, on page Reish and Gimel, Afilu Hachi, even though in this case, technically, there is no need for you to do schirus from the non-Jew because it's only one core, one Jew and one non-Jew. Gozhu boze mitam acher. De'im yehei mutter yishol ployni letalto derech beze shol zeh lechotzer. Yismach yishol al zeh. You'll rely upon this. You'll do this. We're two Jews living together and we're carrying in the courtyard with no limitation. V'yodorimakum v'loy mistape. And in this situation, I'm not afraid I'm going to be hurt by the guy because I have another Jew guarding my back. Mishum shehu yachad shari yod yishol acher motzikan. And what's going to happen? V'yilmoid mimasov shelakum. You're going to learn from his deeds. And you're not required here to do schirus rishus as a reminder not to learn from his deeds. Therefore, Chazal said, no, you can't outsmart us. We're going to outsmart you, and we're going to require you in this situation as well to do schiras rishus. Okay, let's finish up. What?
So, Masha, we're the Jew who shares with the guy, who say he's not afraid the guy will kill him because he had the Jew watching his back. But Chazal would not secure that, the guy's got another Jew watching him, he's not going to become friendly with the guy.
Then that guy, they were still concerned.
They were afraid.
Yes.
Even though he's got a Jew sharing one
yes.
They were afraid for a different reason. They were afraid he's going to assimilate. It's the same thing with the guy.
Yeah.
Nessa, the guy in Nessa was the same thing.
Assimilation.
Okay,
let's finish up one more line. We'll finish up. Avol Nadir, here's the leniency. This whole limit, this whole chum is only in a situation where there's only a window that opens between the two. But let's say there's something much more significant. There's actually a door between bias number one, bias number two. So then we have a difference of opinion. Aval im pesach pasuch b'nehem mutter. But there's an actual door between number one and number two. So then it's mutter. Why is the mutter? See the mishum why mutter. But the Yesh Mishoimer, the Avon Pesach Pesuch B'nei Masav. But so there are those that machmer that the Pesach doesn't make a difference. Now, why would a Pesach make a difference? The Mishnah explains it's in Samaches Avon Mutter. The Afilu Beloy Erev Loy Mistepe Yisrael Lodur Kan Yechidi. Shaharei Hayisrael Motzi Tadur Kan Derech Pesro. Ulohachi Loy Gazu Bozeh Shelo Yahane Eruvo. In this situation, where there's a door. Then it's very common. Chazal were very selective in when they wanted to bend their own rules. When there is a door that opens between bias number one and bias number two, then it's almost as if then it's common. It's extremely common. It's very common. It's very common for the Jew not to be afraid to live there. Because you really have two Jews against one non-Jew. The case that's rare is one Jew and one non-Jew. A case that's very common is two Jews and one non-Jew. The case that's in the middle is the case that we had before, where it's one Jew and one Jew, and there's a window in between, and there's another non-Jew. That was the middle case. But where there is a there are two Jews, like in this situation, there's a door that opens up in between, they're freely back and forth between the two, that's common. And since that's extremely common, and you also, but technically, there is only one courtyard, only one bias that opens in the courtyard, we fall back on the rules. The basic standard rules are, if one bias opens into a courtyard with one non-Jew, you do not need to do schirus. And that's exactly what we have here. One non-Jew and one Jew, we do not need to do schirus. And this is, the Jew is going to remain here, there's nothing wrong because he's very secure, because he has another non-Jew, a neighbor, which comes back and forth. It's only in the other case where he's caught in between. Should I live here? Should I not live here? I'm one against a non-Jew, but on the other hand, I have a window in between, so maybe that's enough. In that middle case is where Chazal stepped in and said, we want to push you in one direction, we want to make things very difficult, we want to require schiris. But in this case, where where it's very common, because there's a door and you can freely travel from one to the other, and there's a non, and there's technically only one bias opening to the courtyard, you do not need to do schiris. It's difficult to understand why should that be a difference, but that's what it says. However, along comes the Mechaber and says, not everyone agrees. Some hold that it doesn't make any difference. Whether there's a door, there's a window. And the Mishnah Berurah says, you have to be machmir, v'yesh v'hachmir k'deyazo, you have to be machmir, like the second opinion. Okay, so this is the basic gist of this halacha. Okay, so we're up to Chof, which I guess the Mishnah will pick up on Monday. Finish up the Simen on Monday. Now,